But God is good. Amen. And you know, like, as a preacher, I was coming out this morning, and I'd love us to adopt this, right? I'd love us, because the Lord reminded me, and in a sense just gave me a little reminder. Now, step into faith. Step into faith, because I understand, and we all understand, like, that when you come into a place or into a community or into an atmosphere, you can nearly be robbed by the enemy. You can be robbed by your own thinking on the way out to a place. Like I was coming out going, well, there's only me and Malik this morning. Do you know what I mean? And I can either set you up or set you down. And I just want to be real and honest. That's the life of all of us. And as a pastor and a leader, that's part of my battles that you have to face. Then you come to conclusions. It doesn't matter. Where two or three are gathered, God is in the, Jesus is in the midst. So you have to, that's all the battle of for your own thinking and whatever. But we do this thing called the Great Big Giveaway. We have another thing that we do during the summer called a Great Big Day Out. And I felt the Lord saying, I want you to go out there and preach a great big sermon. I want you to go out there and preach as if there's thousands of people here. I learned how to preach in a little Quakers meeting. First meeting I was invited to, there was four Quakers. I think the age amongst the four of them was about 630. They were old, right? And I remember I was in Bible college. I was ready to save the world for Jesus, or just on fire. Gets invited by a man called Douglas Lamb, who became a really, really good friend to me. And goes from Bible college, goes into this meeting. There's four people that, like, their age range, like 100 and plus each. And I was, my heart sang that the Lord says to me, you preach as if there's 4,000 here. And I was coming out, the Lord reminded me, you, this is a great big meeting. And the reason why people go, no, if I was having a breakfast and there's four men, I'd call it a great big men's breakfast. Do you know why? Because faith tells you not to dress up for where you are, dress up for where you want to be. That's faith. Don't just call it like there's only three of us. No, there's a great big prayer meeting tonight. Up in Vassar Hall, there's four of us mostly. The great big prayer meeting. Go win with that mentality, because you're looking to a great big God. And he's not dictated to by the circumstances of that we would see ourselves. And we'd have to come through our humanity to start seeing. Like JFK said, we're going to the moon. Right now, one of my moons is Vassar Hall. It's not my only moon, but it's one of them that is really imminent to go. And when we see it that way, well, then we can enter in that way with the faith in the God who's bigger, in the God that is bigger than the moon. And I think the Lord wants to show us over and over again part of his character and nature, and are saying, Lord, what do you want me to speak this morning? And I want to remind us of a few things. I want to remind you of this, that God remembers. He's a God who remembers. And you know when the flood was, the earth was flooded, and Noah built the ark. Do you remember all of this? And Noah was in the ark, and the destruction of the floods, of the flood, and everything was wiped out except these people in this ark, right? And they were in the ark for a while. And Genesis chapter 8 verse 1 says this, and God remembered. And God remembered and thought kindly of Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were in with him yet. And God made the wind blow over the land and the waters receded. That God remembers. God remembers when the floods of life is coming against you and you feel overwhelmed and you feel like you're going to go under. God remembers. Amen. When Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed by God, Abraham talked to God, and he says, Lord, will you not destroy all them? And it says this in Genesis 30, in Genesis 19, God remembered Abraham. He remembered that he had this deal with Abraham, that Abraham stood in the gap. God said he was sorry in these situations that he even made us. That's bad. If a kind loving God goes, there's so much in them. And yet Abraham stood in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, will you not destroy it? Yeah, there's 50. There's this and this. And in the end, he only got to save Lot and his family. But he stood in the gap. When Israel was in bondage, it says God remembered his covenant. And he heard their cry. And he raised up Moses to rescue them. Do you remember Hannah in the Bible? She couldn't have any kids, and her husband's other wife was kept mocking her all the time. And Hannah went to the temple of God. He, She went to pray. It says, and God remembered Hannah. And Rachel couldn't have a baby, and God remembered Rachel. Hannah had Samuel, who was now moving in a new era of there was going to be a king in Israel instead of the judges. Rachel had Joseph. When her womb was closed up, God remembered her. And she had Joseph. And Joseph, we'll talk about in a minute, ended up saving the whole nation. Joseph got the dream off God's. Remember, everyone was going to bow to him. That was when all of his trouble started. Do you ever notice when God gives you something to do when you pronounce it, trouble starts? It's like, I just say, Lord, we just keep it between me and you. And Joseph ends up, his brother's like, Mommy killed the dreamer. Because people who are living lower than what God has asked them hate dreamers. Hate dreamers. Because dreamers irritate us when we're low. Would you ever shut up? Go to the moon. You ever shut up? I'm trying to deal with just me situation at home. And he said, let's kill Joseph. Joseph gets put into a pit. Instead of killing him, they decide we're going to put him into a pit. God remembered him in the pit. And he took him out and he sold him to the slave drivers. And God remembered him while he was in bondage. And then they sold him to Potiphar, who he then became like head over at this man's house. And then his wife made a pass at him and he wouldn't go with her because he was a man of integrity, a man of God. And she told a lie and he ended up in prison. And God remembered him in the prison. And he helped two men in the prison. You remember the cupbearer and the baker. And he told them and they got out and he says, will you tell the king to remember me? And they forgot Joseph. But when Pharaoh had a dream and he couldn't interpret it, they remembered Joseph. God put it in their heart, remember Joseph. And he got Joseph out. And within 24 hours of God remembering Joseph, he was made the prime minister of Egypt. Isn't that incredible? When people forget you, God doesn't forget you. And he can change everything in a single day. And when it says in the Bible that God remembers, it's not like he forgot. See, there's a groan in the waiting. There's a trusting in God in the waiting. But when the Bible says that God remembered, every time God remembers, it means God moved. It means the story is about to change. That when Noah was in the boat and God remembered, the earth that was destroyed, there was going to be a new creation. It was like the story now was going from destruction, flood, disaster, to a new day. Every time God remembers Joseph, he's like, you're not staying in the pit. You're not staying in the place of being killed. You're not staying in slavery. You're not staying in the prison. I have a chair for you that's going to be the prime minister. Every time that it says God remembers, there's a shift in the story. It's like a hinge on a door. When God remembers, there's a new entering into something new. It means God moved to act on a promise that he's made to somebody. And God remembers us. You have to get this. We have to understand this. God remembers us, not because that we're strong, but because he's strong. Not because we got it all right, but because he's always right. So if you feel overlooked, God remembers you. If you feel you're stuck in a situation like Joseph, God remembers. If you're like Hannah and your prayers are soaked with tears, God remembers you. If your promise feels old, God remembers that promise he made to you better than you even remember. Divine remembrance is not that God has abandoned the story. He's moving within what you can't see to make the movement happen that he wants to happen. Amen. God remembers. Therefore, hope is never fragile. The God who remembered Noah will remember us in the storm when the waters are overwhelming us. Because God remembers because he won't give circumstances the last word over your life when he has it. Isn't that so encouraging? It mightn't feel like that. It may be like there's loads of storms coming. But because we know the end of the stories, we need to start standing in a new place and saying, no, God done it for Noah. He's going to do it for me. See, it's the same God. He doesn't show us in the stories that he's like, I was praying this morning for the churches in the city this morning. I was like, Lord, please let us encounter you that you're not a God that just done this in yesteryear. You're a God who does this. The Bible is not about what he done alone. It's about what God does. It's his principles, his character, his nature. So we done it for Noah. What makes him any different than you? Does God not love you? Does God not love me? So imagine the confidence that we could get to. And I'm praying for this for me. So please jump in and ask the Lord for yourself. I was coming home from holidays 2 years ago. And Sharon and all got in through the, you know, on the other side of the security and all. And I had to leave the car back and I came. And you couldn't believe the queue was on. Well, you could believe. The queue was on Ryanair, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss my flight. I was like, Lord, I'm going to miss my flight. Oh, Lord, will you help me? Did it? But then I was like, looking up the queue going, who could I go up and ask? And I skipped them. So I was trying to make my own way. And I was like, and then I just hadn't got the bottle. I'm just going to miss it. I'm sure I was going to be on that side. Da-da-da-da. And then I was like asking the Lord, but trying to make my own way. Like, I'm telling you, within a couple of minutes, right, this supervisor comes out. Anybody going to Dublin? I was the only one. He says, we're making a new queue here. Come up to the top, sir. Of course God made a way. But he made a way, and I was able to thank him that he made a way. But I'd have loved him to be standing in faith on this side going, I know God's going to make the way. Like, he's done it because he loves me, and he's gracious, and he's kind to me, and he made a way. But I'm like, Lord, I want to be on the other side where I'm going. Because you made a way for Noah, you'll make a way for me. Instead of buckling and going, Lord, would you help me? Do you know, like, and that's one place. But a place of faith is that, no, Lord, I declare that you're going to make a way. Because you've already proved this. And not that I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling the situation. I'm telling my own heart. I'm trusting in God. And he's not only a God who remembers. He's a God who restores. He's a God who restores. He restores his people. He restores us mentally, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, eternally. This is what he's done. He restored us all in Christ Jesus to all the things that he has. So you might be like Peter, or I might be like Peter. When Peter failed, God restores failures. When David sinned against God and he thought it was the end of him, God restored his joy. When David was knowing God as his shepherd, he says this in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. And the word for restore in that particular verse, it's the same restore that when the Old Testament in Leviticus, it says that if I rob something on Jay Rafferty, if this was the Old Testament law, if I robbed a cow on you, Jay, and I was caught or whatever, I had to restore you, not just back your cow, but I had to give you 6 other cows. So you got 7-fold for what was taken on you. And that's the word that's used here. That God says, I'm going to restore, not like for like, I'm going to put it on a perfect number 7 to your soul. Now imagine the confidence that when we read this and go, no, Lord, why am I settling for pittance when you said you restore? Yes. Like, no one's making this up. This is your Bible. This is my Bible. I'm like, but I want you and I to go into a place where we're not begging God for what he's already given us. That we're believing that, Lord, you said it. I was only saying this to Sharon today because I had a real revelation of it while I was praying in the morning. God made the promise. The word is covenant in the Bible. He covenanted himself to all of this. He says, I make you a promise now. Because, you know, like, you're working as a human, you go, well, if I'm good enough, he'll give it to me. If I try hard enough, he'll give it to me. If I pray longer, he'll give it to me. If I give more, he'll give to me. That's not what he says. He says, I am making a promise to you. And God looked to see who, in the Old Testament, you go, I swear by Noel Kenny that I'm going to fulfill this. Like a human. A guarantee. God was looking for someone to put the guarantee on. And he could find no one higher than himself. So he put his own name to the guarantee. Wrote it in the blood of his own son that I will fulfill. So if I'm settling for once over restoration, I have a covenant, a promise by God. Say, Lord, will you show me how to receive all that you have for me? Joel says this in the book of Joel. It says that God will restore the years that the locust has eaten on you. The years that have been lost, given away, stolen. He says, trust in the Lord. Walk with the Lord. It will be restored. Jonah got restored to his calling, his mission, his assignment. Remember, it says that God, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Remember, he ran off the first time. And God said, I'm going to restore you to what you are made for, Jonah. I'm going to bring you into alignment with the call of God. And he spoke to him again. Job. Remember Job, he lost everything. Absolutely everything. And it says this in verse, in chapter 42. I was like looking this up. Why did it come to this, Lord? It said, after Job. Is that up there? Oh. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had had before. The Lord, when he prayed for his friends, something happens. When he took his eyes off all of his own problems, which was loads of them, read it yourself. And he prayed. The friends were mocking him. The friends were telling him to curse God. And in this instance, he says, I'm not going to go down that route. I'm not going to look at man, this man lost his family. He was riddled with sores and everything at one stage. He lost his livestock, everything that he had, a rich, rich man. And he lost it all. And he refused to curse God. He refused to say that God wasn't good. I'm like, what? He refused. And his faithfulness was keeping him to the place where then when he got to a place, he says, I'm going to pray for them. God says, here you go. I'm going to restore everything. Double. He got double for his trouble. Whatever he was going through, he got double for it. And his restoring, here's the principles in Joel very quick. That it wasn't the restoration for Joel or for Job was because he surrendered. It wasn't because he was striving. It was because he surrendered. Lord, Kevin, you said it, the stuff in your own heart when you were younger. You surrender that to God so God can give you back over and above anything that may have caused you. You surrender. You don't try it. Strive. I'm going to get better at it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to remember. And then you're pushing yourself into the ground. Lord, I give it to you. Here it is, Lord. The people that have hurt us, here it is, Lord. I forgive them. I tell you, you know, like what I've learned. That as a pastor, right? As a human being, I could tell you 100 woe stories, right? And that I've had to forgive. When I was 8, I was abused by somebody. Imagine how you see yourself and all that. And all the ways along the way. Like, that's, I'm not saying that's just life. It's not life. That's bad and wrong. But lots and lots of people experience that. That's when you put yourself in the position of wanting to serve God and God puts you in a position as a pastor. I tell you, pastors get milked over every week. I know, as an ordinary person, we get milked over. But you put yourself now in the line of scores of people. Whatever, right? So I'm telling you for this reason. And there was a situation a couple of years ago. And here's the thing. Right? I want you to really hear this. I've never felt like giving up. I've never felt like giving up. I've learned earlier on in my walk, where will I go? I've never backslid. You know why? Where do I go? Where do you go after being with Jesus? Everything else is like hell after being with him. Even if it looks good and shiny and it satisfies you for a while, we all know it. And I'm like, I learned that early in my walk. I'm like, I'm going nowhere. I'll go through it. I'll fight. I'll scream. I'll cry my eyes out. I'll feel all the pain. But I'm not going anywhere. A couple of years ago, I'm telling you, we were battered. I could tell you the old stories and you'd feel so sorry for me. But anyway, the Lord says to me one day, I'm going to show you how to love in private so you'll never be a hypocrite in public. I'm like, how are you going to do that? Because there was 20 people I had on the hit list. The end of David's life, if you read it, you know what he said to Job? He said to his soldiers, Shammah and all, kill this person. Bump off that person. David wiped out so many people before he died. It was like, that's the way I felt, humanly. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you how not to be a hypocrite. But I'm going to show you how to love in secret. And we'll get to that in a minute. Restoration is God's initiative. It wasn't Job's achievement. God restores more things. He stores more than things. He didn't just restore his animals, Job and Tonneville, his livestock. He restored him as a person. Because God is into restoring us a personhood. Restoration for Job was not just a rewind. It was a resurrection. That's what we have to look forward to. God is restoring what was stolen, what died prematurely, what sin damaged. God is restoring what suffering weakened. God will finish more. You will finish more with God than what you started with. And the last one, we'll get back into that in a minute. Not that, but what I was saying earlier. God not only remembers, restores, he rewards. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He said this. We're not saying this like, you know, give and it'll be given unto you, trying to manipulate something out of somebody. God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. God says, you will know my heart, know my ways. I reward those who diligently seek me. And Jesus gives us a couple, like there's loads in the Bible, but Jesus says this that in Matthew 6. Jesus says, look at. Remember the man was coming out and he says, look, I give all this money to the poor. And the little woman was with two mites. And Jesus says, he was seeing that, all that hypocrisy, all that, look how great I am mentality. He's seen all that and he says, see when you give privately. Give it secretly. It's good to put in the offering. But imagine we are going and putting in the offering and I go, look at this €100 I'm putting in the offering. And there's some person that, like, that, you know, is given out of what they have and they put €2 in and I think I'm great. And in heaven's like, no, you wouldn't believe how disgusting that is to me, that attitude. See that person there giving out of, you know what I'm saying? But Jesus says, give secretly. Let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Voice of it. And he says, and my Father will reward you because he sees what's done in secret. So Jesus says, my Father will reward when we give, and especially to the poor. Especially to the poor. He says in Proverbs 17:1, I think it is, it says this, that when you give to the Lord, when you give to the poor, the Lord, it's like lending to the Lord, and he will reward you. Jesus says, when you pray, he says, go into your room, close the door, and the Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. He says about fasting. Don't fast and let everybody know. Remember your man gaunt looking and all that. Look how holy I am. It disgusts God. It disgusts him when we do that. He says, just go about it and God will reward you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here's your reward. And everything that you need will be added onto your life. The Father's provision. The secret place. That he will give you what you need. So praying for someone in secret. So I'm driving up the road. And I'll tell you where it was. Coming on the keys. Coming up past Euston Station was on my right hand side. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you how to love in secret. So you'll never be a hypocrite in public. I'm like, okay Lord. What will I do? I'm driving up. Name every person that you want to name. I put them on my dashboard. So just say it was Jay. Which it wasn't Jay. You don't start getting paranoid. Was it me? No. And I'm like, John Joe, this is what you've done to me. And in my opinion, this is what you've done. Because you have to leave room that you were not the one that knows all the story. And I says, oh, this is what you're doing. This is how you made me feel. This is what an effect it had on me. And I'm naming it all. She says, you hurted me. You've done it on purpose as well. like mistakes. We all make mistakes. And I said, but I want you to know I forgive you. I want you to know I bless you. I want you to know I release you from anything that you owe me or I think I owe you. I want you to go and live your life. And I've done it. And I've done it. Not only once. 10 times to one person. 5. Some people I had to do with 20. Up on the dash. But she, whenever I seen them in public, I was genuinely glad to see them. Again, it happens. It didn't happen the next day, like, but again it happened that I could honestly say, Joe, how is it going? I hope you're well. I mean it. Instead of going, playing a game, like, oh, how is thinking inside you're hating the person? And then, why? Because God is a restorer. And God is a rewarder. And God remembers things. Like, he remembers things like when we forgive others. He remembers when we give to others. He remembers when we pray for others. He remembers when we fast and pray and put ourselves in a place where it's going to cost us something. He remembers it. So you don't know what God will remember, really. We think, oh, if I raise the dead, God will remember me. Do you know what I mean? We think if we do all the things, if we put it out on all the publicity, on all the media channels and all those things, we think now I'll become popular and everyone will be able to hear what Jesus has done in my life. And God says, no, if you go into your room where nobody sees you, I can make you. Nobody knew. It wasn't on the internet that Joseph was in prison and he got out of prison. It wasn't on the internet that, like, Jesus needed a load of bread and fish to feed the thousands. It's a little boy that gave over what he had. It's not the big things. We used to think, and everything will make us believe it's the big things. It's this, the heart. Jesus, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to pray. Whatever you ask me to give, I tell you, if God asks you to give, just do it. Just do it. I thought some in my pocket. Just do it. Don't try contemplate it. Don't try work it out because you'll talk yourself out of it. God says, give them your tunic, give it to him. He might be cold for a time, but believe me, he'll reward you. And we don't do it for reward. But the reality is he does reward. Finishing. We used to go off to Belarus to an orphanage with Jay one time. And we built up this orphanage for kids. It was dilapidated, big old thing, and we painted it, put floors in it, wallpaper, windows, new plumbing, the whole lot. And we went over, and we used to go over on the 28th. Man, you were there as well, were you? We went over on the 28th. We used to go over the 28th of December, and then another team would go over in April to do building work. On the 28th of December, we'd go over and do a kids' camp for all the kids in the office. 26 below zero, can you imagine? And the lake iced over, that a truck could go over the lake. Magnificent place, but it wasn't freezing like it's freezing here. And so anyway, but it was cold, don't get me wrong. So we goes up, right, and we were responsible. Me, Al, and Ken was responsible for these six young fellas, right? And so we used to make sure to get up in the morning, and then we make sure to get to bed at night, and then we had our own quarters over there. Gang, it was about 30 or something going on. And one little guy called Losha. And Losha, one morning, I seen him putting on his shoes. Well, they were big boots, and he's putting on his boots, and I see him, he's no socks. And he pulled his long johns up over his feet to make a pair of socks. And I was like, that young fella's no socks. So I went over to my air quarters where we were sitting, got two pairs of socks, went over and put them on his locker, didn't want to embarrass him. He was just going to come in and find the socks. And anyway, it was funny because somebody had sent over all those, you know, the Operation Shoe Boxes, you know, them things they put all, right? And we were actually there when we were giving them out. And we were actually there when we were giving them out in our orphanage. And we brought up, like, I mean, just hundreds of thousands of these come out from it. And the air was landed, and then I took six for air room, and I put them on the bed randomly. And the next day, Losha, like, opened his box. I was at the Leave Me Socks there. He just put them on him. But the next day when he got his box, he opened them, and there was two pairs of socks in his box. You wouldn't believe it. And he was like that, like, just shouting like that. He had two pairs of socks. But I'd have something 2 days before, right? Tormented one time. Told you, this job is really easy, didn't I? This work. Tormented, right? I was in a season of being tormented day and night, right? Just in my own mind. Like, the devil is real. I want you to know that. He's real. And I could have been taken out. It's only by the grace of God I stand before you. No mess. And one night I says to the Lord, I was so terrified of what was going on in my own heart, in my head. And I says, Lord, please don't let the devil have the last say over my life. Don't let him have the last say. God remembered me, and he reminded me, and he said this to me. If I said to you, the Lord said, now, do you think I'll ever forget? Do you think I'll allow the enemy to have the last say over your life? Because. Now, if I was going to fill in the rest of that because, I would say, I gave my life to you. I've served you as best as I could for the last 36 years. I've seen God do great things. I've gone on mission trip. I've given to missions. I've, you know, I could have put in 100 things. I could have, you know, prayed for hundreds of people, led hundreds of people to Jesus. I could have said, oh, none of them. None of them. Do you know what he says to me? Do you think I'd allow the devil have the last laugh over Julie? Do you think I'd forget that you gave an orphan 2 pairs of socks? What? It comes down to this. No, Lord, I planted 5 churches. Not that I went. No. Do you think I'll let him have the last say? Do you think I'll forget that you gave an orphan kid 2 pairs of socks? He remembers. And he rewards. And he restores. I want to encourage us. Let's stand. We just thank you, Lord. Mum of Kev. Because I know we need to hear this, because the Lord puts it on my heart. It's not like I don't come up with something nice, you know, just to say because it's good to say. But I know people need to know God's faithfulness and that God remembers you today. So we just ask, Lord, would you come? Kev, just sing us a song. Sing us a song to worship the Lord. Or could we just put our hand on the shoulder of somebody? Jay, would you stand with Lorraine? I know Lorraine has she needs healing. Jane, can you stand with Louise? Yeah. We all have somebody. So Lord, I pray today, in the name of Jesus, I pray today, Lord, and I declare over us that you are the God who heals, who remembers us, who sees us, who knows us, and he knows our humanity. You know what he says in Psalm, I think it's 107, he says, he remembers that we're dust. He remembers that we're frail. He remembers that we make mistakes. He remembers that we sin. He remembers this. That's why he's put provision in. Confess your sin. And he is faithful and just, and will forgive you and cleanse you, because he remembers. So don't let anything keep us from what God has for us today. I pray right now, Jesus. There's a prayer I want to pray over us. This is it. I make this direction, the declaration over. We believe, O Lord, that God, restoration is not just a rewind, it's a resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give anything that was stolen, taken, given away, that, Lord, you would give back double. Double, O God. Not just the normal, but double. And I declare over you, I say it out loud over your life, God is restoring what was stolen. God is restoring what died prematurely. A dream that died, he's restoring it. A passion that died, he's restoring it. God is restoring what sin has damaged in our lives. God is restoring what suffering has weakened in you. He's restoring his strength. Suffering weakens, but he wants to give and restore strength to us today. God, I declare over you, God will finish, and you will finish in God with more than what you started with, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd remember that we need healing in bodies today. Lord, I pray that you would remember, meaning, Lord, that you would, that the story would change today. Every time you remembered, something changed. So Lord, we pray for the story to change today, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would restore all the things, restore our mind to sanity, to peace and shalom. Restore us relationally to you and to others. Lord, reward us. Reward us, O God. You know what to get to us. You know what the reward is, Lord. And we just say, Lord, let your rewards be released. I declare over us that God is a rewarder. So we receive by faith. We take hold of it, Lord, knowing that you're good to your promise. And I ask, Lord, you would send us out here with a great big joy in our hearts and great big faith in you, Lord God.
and a great big Lord hearing in their ears that God loves me, that He gave Jesus for me. And a great Lord, big expectation of restoration. An expectation of being rewarded. Whatever that looks like, we leave to You, Jesus. Lord, can we say as we sing the song, You be our reward, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, You be our reward. That's what You said to Abraham. I'm Your very great reward, Abraham. Yes. Lord, would You be that for us, O God, and all that You are and all that we need. We look to You right now, Lord. We say as a church, O God, take us to the moon.
Yes, Lord.
Take us to the places that You want us to go, Lord, to do the things You want us to do, Lord. Let us hear like Jonah. Lord, say it to us again what You have for us. The word of the Lord is going to come to you a second time and a third time. And we say as people, amen, and we just sing this song unto the Lord.